When I was a little girl, my mom had all these, how do I put it? Well, I'll give you an example. She would say, if you get wet in the rain, if your head gets wet in the rain, you're going to get a headache. And if you walk barefoot, you're going to catch a cold. So, sure enough, when I got wet from the rain, I got a headache. And if I walk barefoot, I got a cold. One day it was raining, and I was looking out the window, and I saw these kids across the street, and they were all playing in the rain. So I was a little puzzled. How come they don't get headaches? As I got older, it did take me till I was older, I realized that these beliefs were just not working for me. So I just let them go. What I have learned is that we all accept beliefs, values, thoughts, and feelings that we may not even realize are operating in our lives right now. And these beliefs create our experiences, and then we call this reality. Now, many of us function on automatic pilot, assuming that things are the way they are and that there's nothing that we can do about it. But this is not true. While the economy right now may be poor, there are people that are still getting jobs. The difference between those that get jobs and those that don't is their state of consciousness. Now, it is true that we all live from our own consciousness. No two people have the same consciousness, not even identical twins. Some of you know I have granddaughters who are identical. They are one. And from day one, even though they look identical, I can tell them apart by their personality. And that's because they have very different states of consciousness. However, when we accept other people's views and make them our own, we set in motion a principle. And then we have to, or we become servant to, those beliefs. We determine what is it to be in our lives because we are the ones that command and we are the ones who obey. Creative principle is here for our benefit, but it needs guidance and it needs direction. A command is not something that we voice to anyone. In fact, we probably don't even voice it to ourselves. It is simply a belief. Paul said that whatever you yield yourself to obey, it is your destiny to obey that belief. This principle will give us anything we believe with our heart, no more, no less. The life we experience is a limited one, for it has boundaries and limitations that confine us by the beliefs that we have accepted. A lot of those beliefs are formed from ignorance and fear and other negative emotions that actually get passed down from generation to generation. If I would be still accepting the belief that my mother passed on about the rain and the walking barefoot, and by the way, I love to walk barefoot, I would always be sick. But like I said, it wasn't working for me, so I stopped believing it. But beliefs are habits of thought that we have accepted over time. If these habits of thought are contrary to the principle of God, then we must let them go, for they are a false sense of man, which comes from believing in duality, good and evil, which is not of God. This is where we judge by appearances. Now, people generally do judge by appearances, what they see, what they hear, what they feel, what they smell, and what they touch. Yet real judgment is done by right thinking, meaning we must go beyond the appearance to see spirit in action. Otherwise, we end up staying on the merry-go-round of human experiences, repeating the same situations over and over and over again. The day will come when we will get tired of being on the merry-go-round and the ups and downs and seek to know who we truly are. It is then that we do as the Bible says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is when we begin our earnest spiritual work with a new consciousness of man. Jesus spoke of this as being born again and becoming as a little child. Out here in the world, we go through stages of change and growth. The spiritual unfolding process is similar to the process of growth in the external, as it also happens in stages. The difference is that in the human experience, man is born and man dies. The spiritual unfoldment process is the awakening to our true spiritual being, where there is no beginning and no death. Each state of unfoldment is another stage, another state of consciousness. If we study the Bible, we find that each book teaches us critical lessons for the benefit of the unfolding God consciousness that we all go through. In the Divine Science Principle and Practices book, it says, and I quote, "Divine science acknowledges an infinite presence and truth ever present with all creation. But it also acknowledges the process by which the creature grows, unfolds, and comes to a full-blown conscious realization of himself and his place in the cosmic order of life. The first stage of our spiritual unfoldment process is all about us, the personality, the ego, the human being. This is a time when we want things our way, and we want the freedom to be whoever we want to be. We may or may not recognize that there is a God, but if we do, we probably think of him as being vengeful, unforgiving, and we probably fear him. If we are religious, we may believe that we are the chosen ones, and in some cases believe that God wants us to do his work against those who are going to hell. That's the first stage. It's all about us. In the second stage, we are still very much cemented to the way of the human mind, but we may dibble and dabble in some metaphysical teaching or have gotten into studying some Eastern spiritual principles. Elizabeth Gilbert wrote the book Eat, Love, and Pray. Her story is about a journey she took to Italy, India, and Bali. She was in search of herself after a devastating divorce. Among her adventures, she learned to meditate. Now, throughout the book, she talks about the power of meditation. However, when she returned back to the United States, she wrote the book and she met the love of her life. She gets married. She becomes very famous. She stops meditating. And this she said on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Now, I can relate to this because I started meditating about 30 years ago, just about when my life was very difficult and I needed some peace. At that time, I didn't know that silent prayer was the way to know God. After a few years, when things got better, I stopped meditating also. It wasn't until I came to this church that I took the class on meditation and then started meditating. And that was almost 21 years ago, next month. In stage two of the unfolding process, it is also possible that we have gone through some tragic situation, an illness, a loss of some kind, or just feeling alone and lonely, and are beginning to believe that there is something bigger than us, something in the universe that is more than we are, or at least we hope so. Primarily, we believe this because we have no power. While the human consciousness is still very strong in this stage, we start becoming more and more interested in a higher power. Now, we may call this God, Jesus, or the Christ, or something else. It is in this stage that there is a shift of consciousness where we want to know more and more about God, and this is where our search begins. But what we're really searching for is understanding. Now, there are three ways of getting understanding. One is by following the guidance of the Spirit that dwells within us, who is always available and ready to respond. Another is believing that someone else can give us their understanding. Or we just go blindly ahead and learn by hard experience. For me, when I listen to the inner promptings, my intuition, things go pretty well out here. When I ignore it, don't listen to it, well, they don't go as well. Usually, when I find myself with some challenge, it is a reminder that I must turn to God, be still, and not allow emotions or my human ego to take over. For a long time before coming to Washington, D.C., I learned by hard experience because I had this belief that God was far from me. We all continually want to approach God as we approach most learnings. But with God, the usual ways of learning do not work because we can't use our intellect to know God. And yet, the intellect is a tool for reading and reasoning, but spiritual unfoldment happens through a spiritual process. It is a revealing process. We are taught by the Christ within. Once we recognize that truth is changeless, we begin to see that life is eternal. Not sometime in the future, but here and now. We realize that now is the time to accept the divine, for God is always in the present. This is when we enter stage three. Here there is a major shift in consciousness. This is where God becomes our priority. And there is more of God in our daily living through practicing the presence consistently and spending time quietly in the silence. At this stage, we are interested in getting God's spiritual understanding of spiritual things. In Romans, we are told, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Truth is changeless. It is the same today as it was thousands of years ago. It is illumination by the light of the eternal that opens our eyes to see and our ears to hear. For then we're able to reach the day of realization and conscious awareness. This is the stage where we are living by the truth that we know. It is at this time that our personality and ego begin to be less and less in charge, and we find ourselves more and more living by the divine principle. It is at this stage that we have understanding that the only sin that we commit is when we miss the mark. And to miss the mark means that we lack the understanding that God is the one and only power, and that we are His beloved. In the Bible it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct thy path." Goldsmith says that man gives recognition to God. God gives realization to man. When we know truth and experience truth, our thoughts are freed from the limitations of the human mind. Truth eliminates ignorance, giving us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It is in this stage that we learn to impersonalize. In other words, we are no longer puffed up. It is the ego that needs to be puffed up and made to feel that it is important. In stage three, we let go of wanting to glorify the ego and the personality. The ego is sometimes referred to as the little self. The little self looks at others and judges them in terms of where they are in spiritual unfoldment. As we all know, we cannot judge by appearances, for what might appear as a slow spiritual unfoldment is going along exactly as it is supposed to be. The pride for self must puff up itself even in God's light. But the day will come where God reveals Himself to ourself, and some major issue dissolves into the nothingness that it is, and then we lose pride in the little self, because we realize there is only one self, and the little self does not exist. It is through this experience that we learn to love all, with no judgments, no criticisms, for now we have spiritual understanding. The fourth stage is the final stage in the spiritual unfoldment process. It is here that we have conscious realization of the Christ consciousness, and all there is God. There is no human personality, no little self, no ego. There is no duality or no ignorance, no lack of any kind, for we have awakened to our true and natural stage of being, a spiritual being one with God. Regardless of what we do out here in the world, nothing can ever change the fact that we are eternal spiritual beings. Eternal life is always with us, waiting to express in our experience. This eternal life is perfect. There is nothing to change or to fix. Life is of God. God's substance, meaning that God is the only source of eternal life. The spirit of life is wholeness, abundance, peace, joy, and happiness. We must learn to listen and observe carefully, for when we turn to God, He will feed us spiritually. If we are still enough in His message, He will come through. Perhaps not while we're sitting there being still, but certainly as we go about our daily life. It is in surrendering ourselves, mind, body, and soul to God's will that we learn the meaning of eternal life. For there is a purpose for us to fulfill. As we let go and still our mind, God will feed us with meat that the world does not know. He will reveal our purpose, and we should rest assured that He has already equipped us to meet that purpose. In letting go of our wants and desires and needs, and turn in silence to God, we get all of God. With God, we live in paradise. Eternal life is ours right this very moment. God's life is good and very good. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Just be still. Just let go of whatever has been consuming your mind, your heart. Know that God's life is our life. Independent of Him, we can do nothing. For it is the Father who doeth the works. Let us be still, very still, knowing in our hearts that regardless of what we are going through, God will always be with us, with His love and peace for us. It is we who must turn within to the secret place of the Most High and abide ever so quietly and listen. Listen for God to utter His word. In stillness and quietness, God's word will manifest, fulfilling our needs and our wants. Let us be still. Father, we are ever grateful for your presence. We are ever grateful for your guidance, for your spiritual understanding. We give you thanks, and we say, Amen. Blesses you and keeps you. The Lord makes His face to shine on you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and He gives you eternal life. Amen. Please stand.